for all that dying for the land of the free. I think of our forefathers treading across that water. Wonder if they'd even bother if they knew this is how. We are the people. We are the sons and daughters. The ones that our forefathers were counting on to carry on the dreams that they were dreaming.
Hello, everybody. If you agree this country needs to keep manning up and quit pantying up, can I get a big amen from you? This is Clint Locklear with the Man Strong Podcast. We're going to cover three subjects tonight. One is about the red flag laws that the feminist policies are trying to push. The other one is training your wife. And then we're going to end up with don't lift weights or train or try to get in shape with an ego, and why not? But before we do get into those topics, I want to welcome everybody to Man Strong Podcast. If you've never been here before, this is not a female hating podcast at all. Women are awesome. Men are awesome. We're just awesome in different ways. And I personally am sick and tired of being put down because I do not think, act, or engage in the world as a female, because a lot of females today think that they're superior or something. So let's go and get to our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. He's out of Iowa. If you're into trapping or predator calling or anything to do with the outdoors, you need to give him a chance, because he's sponsoring this right now. And he's got great service, he's got great products, and he's got good prices. He's also a member of the Trapping Radio Fur Brigade, so you'll get 10% off if you order through him. Just really good people and someone that you know that you can count on. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. All right. There's been shootings in this country, and there has been shootings in this country. It's sad. It's terrible. We have a broke generation in this country. And I'm not referring to the oversimplistic snowflake or mentally weak or whatever. I'm telling you, we have got a broke couple of generations in this country. They have no purpose. They have no guidance. They're trained from a young age in government schools to hate other people and hate other ideas. They're taught not how to think, but what to think, and that's by a bunch of liberals that are just trying to get them to be a little socialist. They're bombarded with social media on a daily basis, which is all fake. None of it's real. And everybody that is young is trying to live up to expectations that aren't real from everybody else that knows they're putting fake crap on social media. It's always the best lighting and the best picture. It's always when the butt looks the best, or when the catch or the hunt goes the best. It's never reality. It's never the boredom that happens in everyday life as you got to grind through it. It's always the flash. That's all that people see today. It's what you see on TV. It's what you see on social media. And you got young people that pretty much have been abandoned by most of their parents because they're shoved into a daycare center by the lowest paid individuals in the community to raise their children until they go to a government school where they get indoctrinated. People don't eat together. They don't play together. They don't do anything together. Everybody's isolated. And because everybody is taught to hate everybody else, you know, punch a Nazi, all this crap. If you don't believe in global warming, you should be put in jail. It's if you don't believe that all of this just aggressive tribalism is affecting children, because look who does most of these shootings. We're not talking about fully functional adults for the most part. We're talking about high school, college age, maybe a little bit after. That's who's doing most of these shootings. A lot of it has to do with, because what are most of the ones that are doing the shootings are males. We live in a society where males are not allowed to be males, so every type of emotion that is a masculine inside of them is pushed down and made fun of and ridiculed or drugged out of them. And you don't think that there's not going to be an explosion of those emotions somewhere, someday, when they feel like they need to be able to do something? You know, maybe instead of always talking about the guns, maybe people on the news ought to stop talking about crappy parents and crappy schools and crappy social media and crappy TV and crappy video games and everything else that's going on right now, where people are so disillusioned from reality. All they know is the world is worse, it's going to get worse, there's nothing they can do about it. They're victims, they're taught to be victims, they're trained to be victims. They revel in being victims, and what else do they have to do besides one day is just go, I'm going to get some revenge on this place, which is ridiculous. We live in a time where it is the easiest to be a human being in history. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that want to think America is more dangerous today. Well, I suggest you let your feelings do a little fact-finding, and you'll find out that's not the case. When I was young, and I used to run around for 14, 15 hours a day without my parents knowing where I was at, because that's what every kid during that time, we had more danger of being picked up by a stranger than you do today. That's a fact. But everything that we read, everything that you see on the news, everything that you see on Facebook and Instagram is how in peril your children are from something happening. So you dismuffle them and bubble them and saran wrap them. And you don't let them ever learn what it's like to have to respond to real situations, because all you ever do is take them to their programmed, processed, just do nothing programs where they play sports where nobody wins and everybody just has to try and it doesn't matter what's going on, everybody's a winner. And then reality, somewhere along all of this, between the parenting and the schools and the social media and the weakness that parents are breeding into their children, all of a sudden children snap and people look around like, oh, how could this happen? I don't know. Maybe we should start looking at ourselves. Trying to blame a gun? Why don't you just go to a cancer doctor with 4-stage cancer and be happy if he gives you an aspirin? Because that's what this is. It's an aspirin to stage 4 cancer. It may relieve a little bit of pain, because emotionally, that's what politicians are all about. But is it actually going to fix the cancer? No. I don't know how you unbreak a couple of generations of young people. They don't know how to look anybody in the eye. They don't know how to think for themselves. They know how to mimic and parrot. But they don't do hardly any thinking for themselves. If you just listen to somebody in their group, they all say the same thing. That's the reason they can't go out and play by themselves, because unless they have guidance and someone tells them what to do, they don't know what to do. Broken. But now the geniuses up in Washington, which I expect this from the Democrats, because the first thing they want to do is always blame the gun, because Lord have mercy, somebody that has that much feminism running through their blood veins cannot ever accept that it's their children's fault. See, that's the way a good mother will treat their children. Protection at all cost. Great trait as long as it's in the family. Terrible trait when it's in government. So to try to protect the children, the mother doctrine of the socialist Democrats come out and they try to take away the dangers. That's why you don't have dodgeball in high school anymore. That's why in California you can only practice in pads for 30 minutes at a time. You can't ever get on a bicycle without knee pads, elbow pads, helmet, shoulder pads, ballistic armor. The roads need to be rubberized with pellets so the kids can bounce off of them. We never wore helmets or elbow pads. We crashed all the time. I was a regular visitor to the doctor. I've got broke bones all through my body because that's what you're supposed to do as a child. You learn. Yeah, it's not a good idea to try to jump your bike over a car by using a piece of 4x8 plywood because that's kind of cool when you saw Evel Knievel try it. And you don't even nail the plywood down. You hit the other end and you have a teeter-totter. See, you learn a lot about physics when you have issues like that. Because the pain's a good reminder that when you run into the car, pedaling as fast as you can on the downward swing of the 4x8 plywood because you didn't think to nail it down, you learned a lot about life. You don't really see people trying to learn stuff like that anymore. And then we have the Republicans. The most wussified, gutless, ballless party that I have ever seen in my life. It would be nice if there was, I don't know, a bunch of Trumps in Congress and a bunch of Trumps in senators. At least there'd be a masculine element to the Republican Party. There's not. There's a bunch of dripping vaginas in male suits. That's all they are. And if they think they can get votes by passing a red law to take away the constitutional right to self-defense without any type of trial, without any real evidence, illegal search and seizure, those wussified idiots will do it in a heartbeat because they are the farthest thing from real conservatives. Doesn't leave you a whole lot of place to feel good about voting now, does it? You got socialists on one side and absolutely feminized males running Republican Party. And people wonder why Trump is such a hotbed of people getting upset. Because he's one of the only few men up there. And all the girls are pissed off because they can't get him like they do all the other girls. Because he don't play that game. They try to backbite, he comes at them straight ahead. They don't know how to act because that's not how girls act. So we have the red laws. If you're a man and you have a family, I want you to understand what these red laws are. Not what the news is telling you they are. Not the spin. Not what the Republicans are saying or the Democrats. So you need to understand what these laws are. What it does is it takes your constitutional right as a man and throws it in the toilet and flushes it. Because what they're saying is, you no longer can protect your family. You can't protect your wife, you can't protect your children, and you can't even protect yourself. And if you want to know why we need to have guns in this country, please listen to what I'm going to tell you. Because there's people that think that we need red flag laws. So what this basically means is if I don't like my neighbor and I know he's a hunter, I can call up the sheriff and go, you know, he's acting kind of crazy. I'm afraid. I think he's got some guns in there. He's going to start shooting people. And what the sheriff's going to do, because they're not going to have a choice, is they're going to run over. They're going to break the Constitution, which they took an oath to, from the politicians that took an oath from it. And they're going to illegally search and seize the property without due justice whatsoever. And they're going to take property, which is theft, and they're going to run away with it. And somewhere, maybe, down the road, a judge may or may not give the guns back because somebody that didn't have to prove anything said that they are a danger to their community. Now, how do you think the progressive liberals are going to react with a law like this? They're going to do exactly what they do with racism, and they're going to do exactly what they do with the over-exaggeration of women being abused by men. What was it, 3 months ago, a black guy hired two other black guys to put a noose around his neck and soak him down in gasoline so he could get some street cred on being a black guy as an actor. Come to find out, he paid for it all. None of it was real. Nothing really happened to him. You don't think he would say somebody was dangerous just to prove a point or to virtue signal? How about the lacrosse soccer team? It's all communist sports to me, but the lacrosse team in Duke. Lady had a national revolt against the university based off a lie that she was raped by the team. Come to find out, it was all a lie. See, the sad part of it is, now the Me Too movement has been weaponized. Racism has been weaponized. And the red flag laws are going to be weaponized. So let's put this in your own backyard, shall we? Let's say that you're a turkey hunter. And you go out with your son or your grandson and you shoot a turkey. And you take the hero pose with the grandson so he can show it to his friends, and you know, you might blow it up and put it on the wall in your garage or something like that, and you post it on Facebook. Now, what happens now? You're a murdering bastard that probably screws your sister, you dirty little redneck. You hear all this stuff. How stupid you are. All of it. The childness of it. Now, they have a weapon. Oh, Billy Bob's got a shotgun, and I don't like him turkey hunting. Oh, and he's got a child with him? How's he raising that child? Oh, this is terrible. He's a danger to that child. Let me call the sheriff. You don't think that's going to happen? If not, you're a freaking fool. It's going to happen to everybody that does not toe the progressive liberal line. Or it's going to end up in a civil war. One of the two. Because eventually people will get tired of that, and there's a bunch of people that aren't going to give their guns over to the sheriff. And then all of a sudden their neighbor is going to make a decision where they're going to back the law or they're going to back their neighbor, which they know the law that they come in and do the illegal search and seizure, then the theft, is a bunch of crazy nonsense. Where is that going to leave law enforcement at that time? You think the law enforcement have it rough now? At least they have one side of all this argument going on that kind of mostly still supports them. They start coming in their house and taking their guns. You think they're going to have support? Why in the world would anybody want to be a police officer? It's going to be abused. It's going to be a weapon. Now see, here's an interesting thing about constitutional rights. They're endowed by our Creator. And if you're Jewish, you're going to have, your creator's probably going to have a different name. If you're not a radical Muslim, but just an average Muslim in America that doesn't want to go out blowing people up, you have a different name for your creator than I probably have for my creator. If you're Native American, you have a different name for that. If you're from Thailand, you have a different name for your creator. See, but the interesting thing about endowed by your creator is that's not for government to give or for government to take away. Let's just change the red flag law a little bit. See, Trump right now is deciding whether he's going to go along with this. Now, see, there's a danger when you have city people that are running for conservative offices. He didn't grow up around guns the same way that I grew up around guns, or probably you grew up around guns. It's something that policemen have, or security has, or Secret Service has. It's not something that people just walk around every day with, like you do here in rural Tennessee. You don't keep a hunt rifle in the truck in New York. You're not going squirrel hunting in Central Park when you get off work with your kid. Guns are just same as having a hammer down here. He's not used to that. If the base of Trump doesn't scream loud enough, Trump will go along with this because now he is a politician and now he's only concerned with the votes. Where does that leave us? Vote for someone that's against the Constitution, or vote for somebody else that's against the Constitution? What a low place we have gotten in this country. So let's change the law up a little bit, shall we? Instead of the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, how about the First Amendment? You kind of see what's going on with that now. If you speak out, you take a chance on Google hitting you, YouTube hitting you, Facebook hitting you, and then Instagram and Twitter, where they just wipe you off the face of the earth. And if you're bad enough, like Alex Jones in their eyes, they have it where banks won't even let you do business anymore. And they basically execute you publicly without having any way that you can ever fight back, because no platforms let you speak out. So if you are conservative or a liberal, depending on where the mood of the country is, and you speak out because you think that you have a First Amendment right and there's red flag laws, now you're a danger to your community. Maybe you should lose your children. Maybe you shouldn't have that job. It's a little bit different then. What if we decided to do that to women's voting rights? I'm sure the women would really appreciate that. Or what if we did it to men voting rights, where men couldn't vote? See, you can replace this with any other of the constitutional rights that you have. It can be replaced with, you know, what religion should you or should you not be believing in? And the way the government runs now, if you're even halfway Christian, that ought to scare you to death. See, a constitutional right is just something that is basically a right of a human being. You should be able to speak out without fear of recourse, First Amendment. You should be able to protect yourself and your family, because that's just a basic human right of self-defense. See, the right to self-defense goes, even you would think the anti-animal rights activist would understand this. Because you can take the most miserable, mutt dog that someone threw out because they are pieces of crap and they throw dogs out instead of take care of them or find them a home. And it's starving to death. It's got worms. It's got fleas all over it. What kind of self-worth do you think that dog has? It's the lowest of the low, right? But if you go up and you kick at the dog, he's probably going to run off. Now, you corner that dog in between two buildings where it can't go anywhere, and you start beating on that dog, there's probably going to come a time when that dog realizes he needs to fight or he's going to die, and he will take a chunk out of you, which he should, by the way. Even a flea-bitten, worm-infested, starving to death, feral dog, no one believes they don't have the right to self-defense. But people, they do. The other thing about the red law is, like I said, because people believe there is a red law, that's why you know you need protection. Because what that basically means is you have a large group of people that think they can use violence of the government to steal other people's property, to do break other constitutional rights, so they feel better about something that they're not willing to actually look at the facts on. And if they can take your guns, they can take your money, they can take your house, they can take your children, they can take your church, they can take everything, because there's always people out there that don't like what some other people are doing. That's the cost of freedom. Something this country used to actually stand for. But make no mistake, for the purpose of this podcast, they are going to weaken the role of the father even more, or the husband, because they're going to strip away any real chance of them being able to protect their family if they need to. You're going to have to rely on policemen. Now, do you have a policeman that sits in your driveway every night? I don't. There's not one on my couch. Actually, I've got one that lives two doors up. He couldn't get here fast enough if somebody kicked in my door in the middle of the night. And the police have made it crystal clear, along with the Supreme Court, that it is not their job to protect people. So what is left? Bats, a knife, bear spray, throwing a feral cat on them? What's left at that point? See, because there's some interesting things about guns that liberals refuse to pay attention to. I'm going to give you a right-wing organization about some gun statistics. This comes from the CDC, you know, those really right-wingers there. There's about 31,000 shootings in America a year. It's about 15,000 deaths. Now, in those 31,000, most of those are suicides, but the politicians never want to separate that. Very few are mass shootings, but they never want to do that. That's hunting accidents. That's everything that could ever go wrong. That's all of the people that get killed every single week in Chicago and Baltimore and places like that. 15,000 out of 320 million. That's 15,000 too many. But when you look at the rest of the world, we have more guns per capita than anywhere else in the world. And we're ranked 50 in shootings. 50, not first. Every time you hear one of them politicians say that, we're the only country, you're listening to a lying bag of crap. That was the CDC statistics. Another CDC statistics. 800,000 to 2.5 million times a year, guns are used in self-defense. So you have, if you take away the suicides and the gangbangers and the drugs and everything else that happens with the guns, you're 80 times more likely in this country for a gun to protect a person than it is to kill a person. 80 times. Do you hear the politicians talking about this? Statistics from the big, you know, old white supremacist right ring CDC? No. The Journal of Criminal Law, another very right-wing organization, estimates that there is 80,000 to 100,000 cases a year where women use a gun to stop from being raped. Where are you, Me Too movement? If men are the problem that you say that they are, wouldn't you want every woman to have a gun so when all of the toxic masculinity is dripping off all the males and they decide to, because we're just raping like 30, 40 women a day, you know, that you need to be able to protect yourself with a gun? No, the Me Too movement just wants you to take it, sister. It'll be over soon enough. To 100,000 women a year stop their own rape with a firearm. The red laws are going to do nothing but burden honorable gun owners in America. It's not going to stop a crazy, broken teenager from stealing a gun, getting some ammo, and going to shoot somebody. Not going to. They're talking about bringing back assault weapons. Look at the statistics. That is a freaking joke. The reason I know that most people that commit these things don't know anything about guns is they're using the wrong weapon if they really wanted to hurt a bunch of people. An AR-15 is not it. I'll leave it at that. Next thing I want to talk about, which is a little calmer, I'm going to get my pulse down just a little bit now, is how to train your wife. Ooh, there's some pricklies coming up on this one, I'm sure. Women need to be trained, by the way, for things that they want to be trained on. And I'm going to give an example of shooting. Pistol or rifle or shotgun. How do you train your wife? See, I didn't say how to control your wife, how to force your wife, because any man that tries to do that to his wife is a piece of crap. But how do you train your wife to shoot? After talking with several people that actually train people on shooting, and after talking with several friends who've made this same mistake as I have, I'm going to tell you how you train your wife. You don't. You keep your mouth shut. I don't care, guys, if you're the best shot in the country. I don't care how much military or police training you have or how much competition shooting you've done. Do yourself a favor and keep your big trap shut when it comes to your wife learning how to shoot. And this goes for most things. Because you're going to screw it up. I've learned with my wife to give her options, like on the best way to hold a gun. I don't tell her how to hold a gun, heck no. Because if I tell her, it won't get done that way. And then it's going to frustrate me because she won't do it that way. And it's going to frustrate her that I want her to do it a way that she doesn't want to do, even though she don't know anything about guns when she got started. And then it goes into a big argument. We've all been there. And if you just got married, please listen to me. You get a friend to train your wife. She'll listen to him as long as it's somebody she likes. Spend the money and take her to a class. Go to the range. Whatever she learns, you let her rock and roll with it. If she asks you a question, you gently, without telling her what to do, you do it. Guys, this goes with everything in life. Don't be a stupid guy when it comes to your wife. Because let's reverse this. What if your wife tried to tell you how to shoot? You're not going to listen to her either. There's too much baggage going on with that. Don't do it. So when it comes times that if you need to, if your wife wants to learn how to work on a car, don't you dare do it. You find somebody else to teach her. And wives, ditto. It doesn't work very good. There's too much emotions involved. There's, like I said, there's too much baggage. It's going to end up as an argument and hurt feelings, and the goodness that would have come out of teaching your wife how to shoot is not going to be as good as it could be because there's human nature involved. This is coming from 28 years of marriage. I didn't understand this 20 years ago. You cannot be a drill sergeant to your wife. She will not put up with it. And if you've been a immature male and you're used to bossing your wife around, for one, you're a piece of crap. And two, she will do only what you tell her to at the moment and she will not believe it or do it again. So if you're gonna, so if you want your wife to carry a semi-automatic pistol and there's a combat grip because you put your thumbs, it doesn't hurt on recoil, you don't get your hand caught in a slide, your thumbs are pointing down range, you can almost point out to 15 yards and hit your target with your thumbs when you pull the trigger, that's what she needs to learn. Anybody that carries a pistol shouldn't understand what the grip is that I'm trying to explain right now. That's not what she sees on TV. So let somebody else show her how the grip works. It's amazing what happens if somebody else shows her, or if she has somebody else show you. Don't try to train your wife. Bad, bad mistake. Like, this is not anything against women. Like I said, men are exactly the same. Feelings get hurt, voices raise, and that just shows immaturity on the male's part because you don't understand life well enough to know not to do it. Take that however you want to, guys. Don't try to train your wife. Have a better marriage and let somebody else show her because it'll be a whole lot less drama. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is don't train and lift weights with your ego. Especially if you're older. See, when I started lifting weights when I was in high school, we did powerlifting, and I was training for football, and I took great pride that I could stand flat-footed at 260 pounds as a senior and grab the rim. I was extremely strong. I lifted weights a lot. I could dunk about half the time. At 260 pounds, 6 foot two. I lifted with ego. We all did. You tried to bench too much, tried to squat too much, tried to deadlift too much, you did way too many curls because that was pretty much useless, and you didn't eat, so you didn't grow, and all this type stuff, but it was ego. And then I was about 30. And then I got back into lifting weights because I could tell that I was getting just weaker and tired or quick. And I was doing nothing but beaver control at the time, where I was trapping beaver. And dragging Beaver out was just kicking my tail. So I went down the road, and there's a gym called Henry's Gym, because I was trapping down in that county, and I started lifting weights again. Sure enough, ego gets involved. Got somebody shows up. It's just something that two males do, is there's always going to be a competition. See, that's immaturity. I can see that now. I couldn't see that then. If you start lifting weights, you're going to start trying to gather information. What's the best thing to eat? What's the best way to work out? How many sets? How many reps? And you start watching YouTube, then you come across this stuff on YouTube where all the people are only showing, you know, 600, 800 pound deadlifts, 500, 600 pound squats, 400 pound benches, 300 pound clean and jerks. You know, they're doing curls with weights you can't even imagine. They're doing bent over rows with 405. And that's the way, because that's the way the internet works, is you got to be more extreme to be relative. If you're older, please be mature enough not to fall for that trap. There's a lot of reasons. One, if you've abused your body as much as I have over the last 50 years, your tendons and joints are pretty beat up. Your muscles will grow stronger than your joints and ligaments can at the beginning. You're going to start tearing stuff up. Rotator cuffs, joints, tendonitis, stuff like that. I'm fascinated with two forms of lifting weights. One is real powerlifting, and the other one is strongman competitions. The strongman, not really the strongman competitions, but the strongman training. For me, at my age, that seems like the most practical way to train to get stronger for functional exercises than anything else. Farmer's walks, picking a 200 pound sandbag off the ground and walking with it, or throwing it over your shoulder, picking up big rocks, yoke walks, deadlifts, bent over rows, squats, pushing a car around, trying to push a car around. That stuff in an everyday life that's dysfunctional. Complete isometric weight training, not so functional. It's really not. There's some advantages to it. And if anybody that's older is trying to put on muscle, you got two big thumbs up from me, because you're going to need it later in life. And the more you have, the less speed you fall in frailty, because right after frailty becomes death. But if you start looking at bodybuilding, you've got all these videos and all these guys that are, you know, taking all kind of testosterone and dive balls and taking all kind of gear and steroids and growth hormones or SARMs or whatever they're taking, and they look like monsters of a man, and they're impressive. They work their butt off. I don't judge anybody for what they want to take. But is that really what you need to take at, say, 55 years old? What's the end game for doing that? The bodybuilding mantra is, you go to the gym and you pretty much lift weights until you pass out. Well, if you're 50 years old and you haven't been lifting for the last 20 years, you're not 24 years old like they are, and you're not taking all kinds of steroids like they are. You can't recover like they're going to recover, and you're probably not eating what they're eating either. You're going to get hurt. Now see, that type of ego training is very good for selling products. It's not good for an older male to get caught up in, because you're probably going to get injured. Same thing with powerlifting. And strong men, when you get really serious, for the same the purpose here. Listen to all the guys that are old-time powerlifters. Louis Simmons, which started Westside Barbell, strongest gym in the East. I mean, he dominated, his group dominated powerlifting for years. Louis Simmons tore both biceps. He tore his chest muscles off. He tore his hamstrings off. He tore his quads off. He broke his back a couple of times lifting weights. He did something to his neck one time where he didn't think he was going to be able to move it anymore. He's dislocated both of his shoulders. Yes, he's a living legend. Yes, it's impressive what he's done. Is that something that a 55 or 60 year old man needs to be worrying about? Hell no. You should be, at least to me, just as my opinion here, you want to be stronger and faster and more nimble. You don't want to be ripping biceps and quads and hamstrings and tearing your pecs off your shoulder joints. Strong men, one of the ones you hear a lot about, or them, are torn biceps. Torn pecs. Torn hamstrings. Torn quads. Now, to train in powerlifting, or to train in strongman, or even bodybuilding, if you're going to go that route, which I think all men should, one of those, I would stay away from Olympic lifts. They're too technical. So, but that leaves your bodybuilding, strongman, and your powerlifting. I don't think, as older men, we need to be worrying about an 800-pound deadlift. Unless you're going to be competitive, and I'm not. That's not my goal. I'm not trying to bench press 500 pounds. I have no interest in trying to bench press 500 pounds because an injury at my age is a lot different than an injury when I was 24 years old. If you let your ego get the best of you when you're lifting, one, you're showing immaturity, and two, you're not understanding the mission. Which brings us to our last point. What is your mission if you're going to actually become a physically active old man so the young men realize that they ain't the strongest bull on the block? You train smart. Sure, you can go heavy. Ish. Most men that have about a year or two training under their belt are going to be deadlifting organically somewhere between 400 or 500 pounds. Your posterior chain can move a lot of weight. There's a big difference between doing that and trying to do 800 or 1,000. For me, I'm not benching, deadlifting. Since I've got back into it, I've pulled 495. I'm not doing that anymore. I was in the gym by myself, so it wasn't an ego thing. I was curious if I could do it. Now I'm playing around with weights of 375, 405. And I'm doing them for reps under very strict control of doing the lifts. I'm not worried about a one rep max. I'm worried about being functional. Very rarely in my everyday life do I need to lift more than 405 off the ground. If so, we're smart enough as humans now that we go get some machine or we go get a buddy. I can do anything I need to functionally with 405 pounds coming off the floor. Benching, most guys that train enough, you're going to probably be somewhere in that 275 to 325 bench range after a couple of years. That's okay. Worry about your form and worry about your reps over your max. And you'll stay healthier that way. Most of the guys that get hurt that are either competitive or they're doing it for ego is they push themselves on one rep maxes and stuff like that to the point that they're straining everything in their body and something gives. That to me is not the mission of what an older person should be doing with weights. If 5 years from now I'm 55 years old and I need to go up to 500 pounds on deadlifts for 6 or 7 reps, that's fine. But I'm not going to push that now. If I don't feel good when I go in the gym and my form doesn't feel right, I don't really go over 315 sometimes deadlifting. For a 275-pound man, that's pretty weak. I'll do sets of 10 reps, four or five of those sets. All my back muscles are firing, and I feel like I've completed the mission. If I start doing things with heavier weights as far as triceps and biceps and shoulders, and I start feeling like my joints are getting really sore, I back way off the weight and do a lot more reps till things calm down. There's no reason to push through that because you're going to get hurt. You're not competing. Do your own thing. Enjoy the process. There's a famous saying inside of sports. Everybody wants to be the beast until they have to do what the beast does. And that's very famous. The next part after that little speech, most people don't know. The beast enjoys the hunt more than he does the kill. I can tell you, in my own form of hunting, that's absolutely the truth. Killing the animal to me nowadays means nothing. The hunt means a lot. So the way that I'm looking at weightlifting, so I can function at 60 and 65 and 70 and not be frail and on the edge of death, is I'm looking at weightlifting like the hunt, the process. Getting better at the lifts, more control, not just weight. Don't let your ego get you in trouble when it comes to training. Same thing with cardio or running or HIIT training. You want to do enough to get good results, but not so much that your results start going downhill. And for me personally, I cannot do what I could at 25 years old. I can't recover fast enough. As my diet gets tighter and better, I seem to recover a little bit better. But I'm still never going to be 25 years old again. That's okay. I can be smarter at 50 than I ever was going to be at 25. What is your mission with how you're deciding to be stronger, faster, and more nimble as you get older? Understand that mission. Be crystal clear with that mission. Follow the parameters to meet that mission, not your ego. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and knock off right now. I hope you gain something from this. I hope this week you figure out something you can do to be uncomfortable. I hope you figure out some way that you can become a better person, better father, better dad, a better husband than you were last week. If you need more money in your life, you need to figure out how to generate it. And you should be doing that actively. You need to work on being mentally tough and being a leader for whatever group that you're in, whether that's a group at work, or a family unit. These are things that men should strive to excel in. Because if you do that, you're going to have an awesome life. Go have an awesome life.